This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive. Theatre, film, TV, and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive with Em and Warren.
Good afternoon, Susie Rong.
Good afternoon, Warren. What's your relationship with scary movies?
Oh, I think I've told you before I used to prank people with them. Did I tell you that?
Prank people with them?
Well, I always put on a scary movie and then I'd sneak out. This is when I was a kid, I suppose. Maybe not recently. And I'd go around the house and then I'd go on the window and everyone would scream.
So this is to your family?
No, I do it to friends. Anyone. Oh. I loved it. It was funny. But I don't really watch them that often. Do you?
Not very often, only because I'm living alone at the moment. When I used to have a flatmate, it was just such a joy just to...
scream?
Yeah, just to scream and be scared and laughing at each other. You know how you start hiding your eyes and, you know, pretending you've only got half a screen to watch? I thought it was a lot of fun when it was well made.
Yeah, I do too when it was well made. But today...
did you say but?
Well, it's interesting because for some reason I had it in my head that this movie that we're about to talk about was called Knock at the Door. And I suppose when you're on radio, you want to know what you're talking about. And I've had to pivot at the last minute and change all my notes because, I don't know, today I was writing Knock at the Door, but it's not. It's Knock at the Cabin.
That's right.
What's it about?
A toddler and her gay dads are taking a country holiday in a little rustic house in the woods somewhere, but the serenity does not last. In M. Night Shyamalan's latest film, Knock at the Cabin, available now to buy or rent at your favorite streaming platform, the young family is under siege, captured by four strangers carrying weapons, threatening to cause some serious harm. We are told early on that it's not a homophobic attack, but the mystery behind this cruel invasion takes some time to unravel, and we will try not to reveal too many spoilers today, although I think it may be hard. What I will say, though, is that I've not really enjoyed a Shyamalan movie since his first hit, The Sixth Sense, in 1999. He's directed many titles in the horror and thriller genre since then, for the big screen and the small, but in my opinion, none of them have come close to the quality of his career-making hit all those years ago. Knock at the Cabin, like most of his catalogue, starts off with a lot of intrigue. The film takes pains to represent the perpetrators as curiously benevolent, the odd contrast between their niceness and the horrible things that they're actually doing to the family draws us in right away. I will argue that things take a dive not long after. The plot just did not work for me. It is good, though, to see queerness being normalized in a Hollywood genre film, especially in such a refreshingly wholesome way. We see the gays in flashbacks fighting their way to attaining a normal life despite a lack of acceptance by so much of American society. Even if those scenes can seem a little irrelevant to the main story, I appreciate the positive portrayals of gays in a scary movie. Warren?
Yes.
Maybe you'd have slightly better things to say about Knock at the Cabin.
Look, I tell you what, Dave, is it Bautista? Is that how you say his name? I wouldn't mind him walking up to me in the middle of the bush and wanting to be my friend.
I lock you up for a few hours. Yes.
Look, the opening scene got me very interested, Susie, and I was so intrigued. And I thought, wow, this is really good. This is fascinating. But then it was kind of downhill from there. I couldn't work out if it was a supernatural horror story or if it was a cult of brainwashed people. And to be honest with you, I kind of never really figured it out.
Yeah. It was a bit of a confused movie. Mm. I don't think in terms of the story. It was confused in what it was trying to, what kind of effect it was trying to get us to how it was trying to get us to respond. Because I think we were like, are we meant to be scared? Are we meant to be just worried? Are we meant to be curious about the storyline? I think it really didn't capture us after the beautiful opening scene between Dave Bautista and the little Chinese girl.
And I think, I had the potential. I mean, there's a big dilemma there, isn't there, in the whole movie? It's all based on this dilemma of, are we going to do this or are we going to save the world? And I don't want to ruin it for people, but I would have thought that in this sort of movie, I would have been thinking afterwards for hours, what would I do in that situation? It's a really difficult dilemma. But I wasn't. I wasn't thinking about that. Honestly, I
couldn't care less.
Should I do the dishes or should I eat that packet of chips or finish that Easter egg? That's what I was what I was thinking. I wasn't left pondering what I was going to do. And I didn't know if we were meant to be scared by the movie. Yeah. I didn't find it scary.
It's a bad sign when in preparation for our chat, I feel like, oh, I can't remember those few moments. Let me go back and watch it. And then it loses me again. Like, I just can't focus after the initial scenes. So I'm feeling it'll probably happen to lots of people. Unless maybe if you're trapped in a theater. Maybe if you're in a close-up theater, you'll be like the family trapped inside. You might be less inclined to sort of divert your attention. I found myself distracted for a lot of it, to be honest.
We're chatting to Susie Rong about the movie Knock at the Cabin. I love the fact that there were gay dads in it. I mean, that was great. It's normalised in it. But I wasn't really sure, you know, what the purpose was, because why did they have to say at the beginning, oh, we're not homophobic? It was almost like, did you need to tick the box just so that you can justify having gay dads in there? I didn't understand why they needed to do that.
Yeah, that was an odd thing that they declared at the start. And it was also odd to me that there were so many flashbacks. You kind of tell you the story of this family when it kind of had no relevance to why they were being attacked.
Yeah.
Although I guess it tried to sort of make you have, make you like the family more and sort of be more on their side, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, some of the flashback scenes, what were they? They were homophobic parents. There was an adoption process that didn't
And there was an attack
them.
At a bar.
A bar as well. I mean, why... The flashbacks didn't seem to link into the narrative of the actual movie itself. I felt like why wouldn't they explore those flashbacks? If they throw them in, why didn't we, you know, what role did the bar scene have in what's happening today? There was no link made. Well, I certainly didn't get it at all.
Yeah, maybe if it was directed by a gay man, it would have a little bit more meaning what those scenes were telling, but so you know, an interesting question, though, I think is about gay families, don't you think? Yeah. Because I'm always looking at these really wholesome families, and I'm in two minds about it. I think I'm from a generation where there was a time, you know, in the 90s for me, where you kind of think, oh, I don't have to ascribe to these values. I don't have to think that a good life looks this way, you know, the whole picket fence narrative. And then obviously with a lot of activism and a lot of progress in our society, and now you're starting to see queer people making wholesome families. And then in our storytelling, in our films and everything, where gays are starting to be portrayed in sort of a traditionally hetero way. What do you have feelings about that?
Yeah, I'm feeling the same, and I think I felt the same about this movie. They were a very safe couple, and it was a safe family. And I don't think, look, it is great whilst we say, oh, I love seeing, you know, gay dads on TV, blah, 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 and being normalised. We're not necessarily seeing a cross-section of what our community is like on there, as though it's all happy and roses and everyone had a lovely upbringing and there was no trauma or anything. I feel like that is all completely ignored. And let's throw in a couple of flashbacks just to tick the box and say, yeah, they had a difficult life, but look at them now.
Warren, do you ever imagine yourself to have a wholesome family life like that?
I do have a picket fence.
For how many?
I never did imagine myself having a wholesome family life. I mean, I suppose I did. I wanted to at one stage, but it was at a time when it was difficult for adoption, etc., and that's another story. So I never pursued it, but I don't think that we all have to aspire to be, you know, happy, you know, the heterosexual family as such. We can just be happy whatever we're doing. And I don't know, why do movies have to dictate what we should be like as a family?
Yeah, well, I guess whether you want to go for that kind of lifestyle or not, it's entirely a personal choice. And, you know, I think both ways is fine. We need to accept, you know, other queer decisions, I guess, you know, people who create different queer lives, even if it does look very hetero on the surface.
We're chatting about Knock at the Cabin, the movie with Susie Rong. I found, Susie, like, if you look at even the scenes of death in the movie itself, they were I don't know if corny the right word. They weren't, there was no, oh my goodness, I can't watch this. It was like, oh, what?
And how upset was it when that moment when one of the gay dad finds a gun and then goes in and doesn't kill any of the perpetrators? When that happened, I was just completely checked out. I was like, You've got a gun. They haven't got the guns. Kill them and the movie's over.
It's done. It's solved. It's done. Why wouldn't you do it? I thought the same thing. Why did they not want to portray the gay dads of being capable of firing that gun? I don't know. Maybe they were too scared. If there was a little bit of tentativeness around the gay part in it, I found.
Maybe.
But I did love, you know, one thing I did love about this family, I loved that, it was a gay couple and they had an adopted Chinese-American daughter. And I thought, well, at least, you know, there's some diversity there.
Yeah, I did read somewhere that I'm not 100% verified, but I did read something in the original book on which this movie was based. One of the husbands was actually a black man, but somehow in the film they both became white.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. Look, it didn't resonate with me. Love to hear what you think of it. 0427 569 949. It's called Knock at the Cabin. Susie, have you got a good one for us next week?
The pressure. So much pressure. Look, you know, I come up with these titles just so we can have interesting conversations. And then so that, you know, people know about these films that don't kind of get as much buzz as others. I hope it doesn't dissuade people from checking them out when we don't like it. But, you know, hey, them's the breaks. Next week, Turn Up the Volume is a 10-part drama for bigger kids on ABC iView involving a music camp for girls and non-binary teens. I've seen the first couple of episodes and I'm excited that there seems to be queer romance blossoming for these very young ones.
Fantastic. So Turn Up the Volume on ABC iView.
That's right. And I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks, Susie.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.